All right, good morning. Well, welcome to Christ Community Church. My name is Mike Rodriguez. I'm the lead pastor, and it really is a blessing to be able to worship God, right? Be able to come to serve and to at the end of the day, right, really just be part of doing what he calls us to build his kingdom, right? I hope you felt welcomed as you came on in. If you weren't, or somebody gave you a mean look, just let me know, right? I'll take care of them afterwards. We still keep it old school like that. No, I'm kidding. I'm from Orange Cove. No. But no, our goal is to be authentic, right, in how we worship God and how we study. And so, listen, the VBS is going to be at our place. You guys are all welcome to come. And honestly, the end time is 8:30. Nobody ever leaves at 8:30. That's usually when everything starts to warm up. People leave our house like at 10:30, 11 o'clock. I tell people, you can stay up until about time. If you stay overnight, 2 or 3 days, I'm going to start charging your rent, okay? But no, it really is just a blessing. And we know, we recognize, right? We do a lot of ministry out of our house because we don't have a facility. But listen, the church is not the facility, right? The church is the people. The church is the body. And so we need to be together and encouraging one another and laughing and praying for one another because at the end of the day, that's what God has called us to do, right? I know whenever I tell people, where's your church? I said, you know, out Sanger, the Indianolian church, the building that has a big chicken on it, that's our church. Okay. And that's why I just joke. It's not the facility, guys. It's the people. And so we're here to ultimately to serve and to do whatever God has called us to do. So we're excited about it. Yes, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be warm. Live in the Central Valley in the summer, in July. It's warm, okay? We'll have water. I'll give you, if you want, I'll give you monsters, whatever you want. My wife's saying no. I do have the monsters on delivery, like it's automatic Amazon delivery. So I got you covered. If you're tired, come see me, but make sure you sign up and show up. Amen? All right, so welcome again. Today's message is called From Victim to Victor. From Victim to Victor. And I don't know, but have you guys been watching World Cup? You guys? Man, isn't it, like, it's exciting, you know, I think it's probably, to me, it's like the best World Cup that I've seen, to be quite honest with you, and it's great to see all the teams that are winning, the victors, but then you see the other teams, when they lose, they're just, like, heartbroken, right, defeat, you know, almost like crying, you know, and you know what, I when I was thinking about that, I said, listen, life is sometimes like that, huh? You're on the high, where you're like, man, I'm winning, team Michael, I'm winning, and then sometimes you're like, man, I'm losing. I can't catch a break. You guys ever feel like that? Yeah. And it's hard because the culture that we live in, right, is very much, if you guys are honest, it really wants to keep you sometimes in that state of, I lost, I'm a loser, I'm just going to stay here. You know, just, I'm going to stay here and die, right? That you're, and the culture that we live in is so much around the victim mentality, right? Well, we're going to be getting into the Old Testament today where we're learning that, yes, from time to time, we are going to have losses. Yes, from time to time, we might have some really big losses. But through God and through Jesus Christ, we can have victory despite all of that. Amen? Because listen, some of us in this room, we know, right? You might have a recent loss. Loss of a loved one, for example. You might have a loss in a relationship. You might have a strain going on. You might have a loss of a job. You might have loss of security. Sometimes you feel like you lost and you get so caught up that it's like, here that it's like, man, I don't even know what's what. Which way is up and which way is down. But at the end of the day, we have a real reality and we have a real God that fights for us. We have a real God who stands in the gap. We have a real God who strengthens us. But we have to know that we have to go to him. Amen? And so, because of Christ, not because of our own strength, because of our Christ, we can have victory. We're not victims, we're victors through Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. We're going to spend a lot of time reading there, and then we're going to break it down, because that's what we do here. 1 Samuel chapter 30, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. And if not, you can follow up on the screen. You guys there? Nobody's there? 10 of you, amen. The rest of you guys are following along. That's good. Let's get into the word. It said, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. And now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and everything else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off and went on their way. And when David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured. Ahinoam of Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. And each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. David found strength in God. Let's stop there. David found strength in God. You guys know what's happening? Of course you guys don't. But I'm going to tell you. Some of you guys do know. Because this is what? The smartest, the most beautiful church in all of Sangre, California, right? I just have to dust off the memory, like little guys. I know you guys know this, but you guys might be forgetting. What's happening in David's life, time and time again, after David is anointed by Samuel to be the next king, somebody's trying to kill him. Who is he? His name is Saul, right? So in this period of time, David's been now hiding from Saul for a long time. And in fact, he does something that's really strange. He goes to live where? In a region called Philistia, right? Who lives there? The Phila. You guys are so smart. I told you guys. Let's go ahead and throw the map up on the screen. So this is the region where he's living in now, right? He's from Israel. And he's hanging out here. And he goes to Gath and he goes to talk to the king. And they allow him to stay there. And he has 600 men that are now staying in a small town right here called Orange Cove. No, it's called Ziklag. They're like, what? I'm going to translate all those. And he was in Parlier and he went to Reedley. No. He was in Ziklag, and he was living there. In fact, now David, obviously, he's an Israelite. The king of Philistia was allowing him to stay there. And he was actually going, and he was still fighting the enemies of the Israelites when he was staying here at Ziklag. I don't know if you guys know that. But there's a war that starts to happen. And how do we know this? Because we read chapter 29. Okay. In chapter 29, you'll see that the men of Saul, his army is gathered right here in Shunem, and in Jezreel, and the Philistines are gathering in Shunem. They're going up, right? This is David and his 600 men. They're called to come alongside. He's invited. He says, come with us, right? And they're going to fight. Now, interesting how God intervenes. The generals of the army here in Philistines have said, isn't this David, the one who, if Saul kills thousands, David kills 10,000s, right? They're like, he can't fight with us. So in fact, the king tells him to leave. And so what's happening here back home? If all the men are up here and back home, it's only the women, the children, what happens? That's what we just read. We just read is that the Amalekites actually went up and raided the Negev and they raided Ziklag. You guys are all following what I'm saying? You're picking up what I'm putting down? All right. Just checking if you guys are awake. And so what happens is there's a three-day journey back home. When they get home, the whole town is burned down. Now imagine if you came home, right? I see this. There's a house that burned down a few blocks at the corner. And I can imagine, man, if my house burned down, I would be like, oh, all the stuff, all the memories, all the pictures. But here's what's worse. The wives and the sons and daughters are all missing too. So you can see how they felt. Imagine how you felt. Come home, you can't find anybody. And you must, I think at that point in time, they were heartbroken. In fact, if you see in the reading, it says they wept until they had what? No more tears to weep. Have you guys ever been in a situation like that? Or man, I don't know if I can keep crying like this. Man, I don't know if this is, I call that, listen, in life, you're going to have those situations that happen to you. I call it like a soul wound. I don't know if some of you guys are going to, no matter what I say, you're never going to raise your hand. It's okay. If you live long enough, you're going to encounter what I call a soul wound. Young people, I'm not here to discourage you, but man, life is not fair. Life is hard. We have wins and we have losses. And so every now and then you're going to encounter yourself in a situation like the men and David encountered themselves where they were just heartbroken. They were broken down. They were weeping. Now, David finds himself in a very interesting predicament. He's the leader of these guys. And so the guys are now saying, they're what? Who do you want to blame when something happens? You blame the leader, right? And so David is, obviously he's torn because his family's missing, but now his men are what? They want to kill him too. Man, you think about that. You've lost everything and everybody's around you. And even the people who are around you are fighting against you or they're plotting against you. They want to stone him, it says. But it's interesting. He has a reason. This is a real reason to grieve, guys. But where we left off in that last verse that we just read, we said what? It says, but David found strength in the Lord his God. Amen? Amen. So listen, the first point for today's passage, and we're going to come back and break that down a little more, is we can face reality without losing hope. We can face reality without losing hope. David and his men had a very stark reality in front of them. Their town was burned down. Orange Cove was in flames. Everybody's going to say, the reason why is because hard to say Ziklag. It doesn't roll off the tongue. You know Orange Cove. Orange Cove is on fire. Okay? It was Ziklag. Yeah, that pastor makes up all kinds of, I'm not adding to it, okay? I'm just, go with it. So here's what happened though. He had a real loss. And notice what the men did. They had to acknowledge it's a reality. In life, bad things will happen. We can face the reality without losing hope. So sometimes when we have a loss, what do we sometimes like to do? It's a defense mechanism. What do we do? Oh, everything's fine. You show up to church, a big old smile on your face. On the inside, you're dying. Ever happened to you? On the inside, you're like, man, I just got out of bed, but you show up to work or your friend called you. Hey, girl, I'm doing good. Praise God. Ever happened to you guys? Anybody here? Yeah. Listen, we have to accept the reality of what we're in. A lot of times, listen, I know, I get it. It's tough for us to open up when we're in a moment of pain or we're in a moment of heartbreak or disappointment. It's hard, right? It is. But you have to face the reality and own up to it. You can't just deny it or just pretend like it's not happening. We have to accept it for what it is. He didn't pretend like everything was fine. In fact, he wept until he didn't have any more tears. How many of you guys grew up in a house where they tell you, don't cry? Don't cry. Men don't cry. Ever heard that? Man, I don't know. I was natural crier, you know. My brother will be the first one to tell you, man. My heart is in my sleeve. I'm crying. Watching You Got Mail, crying. I love me some, my wife knows me, I love me some rom-coms. I'm over there. Let it out. I'm like David. It's a reality. But I'm not pretending that everything was fine. Listen, faith isn't denying that you have pain, guys. Faith isn't denying that everything's okay. In this life, you will what? You have troubles, but fear will not because what? Jesus has overcome the world. You guys know that? So we have to stop with this whole thing that it's like, I'm doing okay. No, I'm not okay. In fact, this place, this church, this body, it's not for people who are okay. I'm good. That's not that. I need Jesus every single day because I'm broken. I'm a sinner. And we have to acknowledge that every single day. If not, it's like, I'm good in my own strength. No, that's exactly where the enemy wants it to be. Right? Man, without Jesus, where would I be? I'd be a hot mess. So I have to acknowledge it, that I can face the reality, that I am in a storm, that I do have grief, that pain is real, and it's okay. I have to do something about it from there. Does that make sense? So faith isn't trusting, right? Faith is really trusting God that he's going to get us through it. And we see that in what David says. He says he found strength in the Lord his God. He didn't say he found strength in his bank account or in his job or in his friend or in his cuñado or in his homeboys. He said that he found strength in his God. Amen? Because a lot of us, we want to like, oh, I'll be fine. I got my job. I have this. Forget about all that. That's not going to help you through the soul when you're going through. Here's what happens, right? Let's keep reading. Because we have a decision to make. Like David had a decision to make. David could have been like, woe is me. I've lost everything, right? And this has happened to us sometimes too. When that happens to us, don't we just want to just like lay down? I don't even want to get out of bed. Let me just lay down right here and die. You guys like, right? You guys know people like that? Yeah. Let me just lay down because I don't know. I'm not even going to get up. I can't even move. Yeah? Yeah, we're not. But David has a decision to make. Let's keep reading. Because we can't face our reality, right, without losing hope. But let's learn and see what David did after that. So verse 7, we continue reading. It says, then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. Abiathar brought it to him. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. Let's stop there. What did David do? Did he start calling all his friends? Did he start game planning and strategizing? Did he call like a, let's have a SWOT analysis meeting right now, guys. We have this big problem in our life. Our wives have been kidnapped. The house is burned. What should we do? Right? He didn't do any of that. What did he do first? He said, called. He went to the Lord for help. He talked to the priestesses to bring the ephod. Now, be clear. He didn't put it on. Right? The priest is the one who wears that. He has his linen one. I know you guys are thinking about when he's dancing. Right? You guys are thinking about it. That's not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about is he brings and he says, let me inquire about the Lord. What should we do? And so in the same way for us, what should you do when you're in the middle of the storm? Call your homegirl? Call your bestie? Hey, bestie, I'm having the worst day ever. I know whenever I make, my wife's like, you got to work on your impersonation because you always do the neck thing and your voice goes a little thing. But some of you guys talk like that, okay? No? Hey, bestie. Hey, girl. Right? No. Let me tell you all about, no. Your bestie might be there to help you, to kind of just listen, to lend an ear, but she's not the creator of the universe. There's no power behind that. You know what I'm saying? It feels okay. I'm not saying that that's not a bad thing. It's like we need relational help. But more than anything, who do we need? Man, we need some God in our life at that time. Right? We need some guidance. We need some wisdom. Because number two, and this is the second point in today's message, when we suffer a failure or a major life challenge, we can find our strength in God. We can find our strength in God. Yeah, it's important to have support. I'm not saying that. But listen, you can find your strength in God, right? David was greatly distressed because they were talking about what? Stoning him. And they were bitter, right? But David found strength in his Lord. Lord is God. And then we talked about this as a turning point in this particular passage of Scripture. Everyone had abandoned him. The soldiers were mad, but he went immediately and he told the priest, bring the prayer garment, the ephod, right? And then he inquired of the Lord. He went into prayer and he actually sought him out. He says, what should we do? He says, will we catch up? And he says, yes, you will surely, right? In fact, let's read it again. He says, shall I pursue this raiding party and will I overtake them? Pursue him, he answered, and you will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. Listen, a lot of times, many times, when we're in the middle of the storm, we're trying all kinds of different things. How do I, 10 ways to make me feel better, 5 ways to do this, 6 ways to get over, does that make sense? And it, you know, those are things of the world. I'm not saying that there's not some real applicable things that are helpful, but at the end of the day, our hope and our strength has to come from God. I left my phone. Joey, can I use your phone? I need to call China right now. The fastest growing church is in China and India. I don't know if you guys know that, right? It's a true story. Now, what do you guys, all you guys have this thing, huh? I'm going to call somebody. I don't know. That random person in China might pick up. You guys all have a phone? This phone could be used for what? It could be good for good. It also could be used for some bad things, right? For evil. But the reality of it is just like, this phone is only as good as what? What you're using it for? Yeah, amen. But what about when your phone dies and doesn't have battery? What do you do then? What do? Paperweight it? It's a paperweight, right? Now, some of you guys, when your phone dies, it's like, oh, my phone is dead. I'm shaking. I'm having withdrawals. My finger is just going like this by itself all day. I don't know what to do. What am I going to do? You run up to him. It's like, what are you doing, man? I'm just like, my phone's dead. You know people like that? Amen? This phone is only good if it has power. Brothers and sisters, in your walk is only going to be strong if you're connected and you have power from the One on High. Amen? We're all going to go through the struggle, guys. But listen, a lot of times when we're going through the storm, it's just like you have to stay connected to the one who can get you through the storm. That's God through Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, guys. Otherwise, we're just like the paperweight. We're trying to figure this thing out. This thing, man, outside of being connected and full of power, it's useless. And we're in the middle of the storm. We feel like that, don't we? I didn't call the Chinese guy. He didn't pick up. We have to be connected to Jesus Christ through prayer. Amen? And that's what we see David doing immediately. Now, he didn't try, because a lot of us, if we're honest, when we're in the middle of the storm, we still try our own way, don't we? Let me try this first. Let me call that person. And I said, some of those things are helpful, but at the end of the day, we need to be connected to God in prayer and seeking His wisdom. We need to be in this Word and looking up, what does it say? You need to be talking to brothers and sisters that encourage you, that love you. Because oftentimes when you're in the storm, let me tell you right now, you're going to be seeking advice, and if those people are not connected to God, they're going to give you the wrong advice. Ever happened to you? When you're reaching out to people, and it's like, they tell you that thing, it's like, man, that's not from God. They're doing the best. Like, listen, your friends, they don't have it all figured out anyway. Be honest with you, yes or no? You might have some good friends, but listen, they're still trying to work it out themselves. Right? It's like when you're, you know, when you've been getting in the airplane and they tell you that when the oxygen mask comes on, put on your own mask. Your friend is trying to put on her own or his own oxygen mask too. Right? So that's okay. Go to the one who can help you, who can strengthen you in that situation. And that's what we see David do, right? We see David call out to the priest and tell him to bring the ephod so they can get into prayer. And he seeks God out, right? That's the third point in today's message, is that we seek God's direction, what? Before we take action. We seek God's direction before we take action, not afterwards. Before. So we see that before we start to panic and go all crazy, we need to pray. Amen? How many of you guys have gone through like something going on and you have like an anxiety attack or something going on in your life? It's happened to me. I'll be honest, I'm so busy. It's like, man, that's a reminder. It's like a built-in reminder. You need to start praying. That makes sense? It's a good time to slow down and talk to God. A lot of times we end up worrying a lot, right? But that's a reminder that we need to worship. Right? And so we need to make sure that we're opening the scriptures and yeah, it's okay for you. If you're using your phone to get in the Bible, great. But listen, get back into the basics of being, spending time alone with God, showing up to church on Sunday, going to life, our community groups, bringing your kids to action. Listen, be connected to the body. There's life in that, guys. And we need to be seeking God's direction before we take answers. Because the reality of it is, listen, all of us have already tried to respond to our own situation, our circumstance on our own. That's the, when something happens, how many of you guys immediately go into like, I got to do something. I have to respond right away. Like immediately. I have to react to what's happening. That make sense? Show of hands, how many of you guys are going to? Yeah, some of you guys. The rest of you guys just what? Go curl up in a ball. We cry. That's okay. But listen, what God is asking us to do is like, listen, what we're learning from this response is, again, David's men had lost everything, right? And he had a response. Now, You guys know, I work in healthcare, and so part of my old life, I used to oversee the behavioral health department for your mental health. It's a real deal, guys. Listen, I always tell you, listen, one in ten of us is going to have a clinical depression this year statistically. It comes, but it doesn't have to stay. That makes sense? It's real, right? I can tell you I've had it. I'm not ashamed of it. I didn't stay there. But you go through those stages. You guys know what the stages of grief are? Anybody? Some of you guys? Okay, sister in the back, what's the first one? The first one is, that's close. The first one is denial, right? The second one is anger. Then it's bargaining. Then it's depression. And then it's acceptance, right? This is going to be so lame, Lily, but I'm going to teach the congregation how to remember. You know how you remember that? You dab, and then you duh. D. D. And she's like, Dad, that's so lame. Nobody dabs anymore. I know, but I'm teaching them something. Stages of grief. I know. Dab. The D is for denial. The A is for anger. The B is for bargaining. The D is, again, for depression. And the A is for acceptance. Okay? I remember little things like that. You probably will forget everything that I said except you're going to remember that. But you have to take notes, okay? Go back and read your notes. Put your notes on the fridge, somewhere you go a lot. I go there a lot, okay? See, David had a decision to make. He could have been in denial, but no, he didn't, right? The men were angry with him. It was a natural one. They weren't bargaining. At that point, it's like, we need to kill David, right? They were depressed when they cried, but then they accepted it. Because what did David do immediately? Let's pray about it. What do we need to do? A lot of us, sometimes we stay, we don't move. And here's like I'm saying. Those stages that we go through naturally, I just said them linear. Sometimes it's not linear. But God is wanting us to move through some of those things. Amen? Not to stay in one of those acceptance. Because some of us in here have walked through, or we know people that have gone through heartache, and they're still stuck in anger, bitterness, or depression. You know those people? We need to keep praying for them. Amen? I'm telling you because I'm not telling you about something that I've never experienced myself, guys. I'm not here preaching from my ivory tower that my life is perfect. No, to live is a struggle. We're not exempt from these things. Amen? So you might find yourself in one of these phases. You're like, oh yeah, that's good, that's good. No, listen, you might find yourself in one of these phases, but God is telling you to say, listen, I brought you here, but I don't want to leave you here. Right? At some point, we have to accept it, and then what's next, God? How do I get through this thing? But it means that we have to stand up in faith, right? Matt, come on up. Come on up, Matt. Matt's always, if you guys don't know, Matt's always, he doesn't ever know when I'm going to use him for like an object lesson. He just finds out the day of, right? Matt, you had a real bad situation happen to you. It's terrible, man. You feel like this. Why don't you just lay down right here? Lay down in it. You're mad, you're angry. Why don't you lay down? Lay down. I never tell him. He's always as surprised as I'm surprised. There he is. He's mad. He's angry. He's depressed. He's sad. He's in his emotions. Like, you guys relate to that? Some of you guys can, huh? But here's the problem. There's no movement. Because God tells us to what? To walk by faith. Right? Now, he's laying down all up in his feelings, all depressed, mad, angry, sad, the whole world, nobody loves me. That sound familiar to you guys? You could be all up in your head about what's happening, about the storm that you're going through in life. That's not a good place to be. Matt, do you enjoy that? He's not enjoying it at all. He's like, I hate it. I'm not coming to church ever again. Every time I come, pastor makes me like lay down here. And here's the thing. Your family, they love you. They see you. They're like, Matt, we want to help you. We want to help you. Like, come on, Matt. Come on, Matt. And he doesn't want to get up. He's like, no, this is my problem. You don't understand. Nobody understands but me. You don't know people like that? You ever been in a situation like that? Nobody hurts like I hurt. Nobody's heartbroken like my heart is broken. That is a lie from the enemy, guys. Right? He wants to keep you isolated and alone. But he can't walk by faith like this. See, he's all up in his feelings and emotions, but he needs to do something. And God is telling him, he said, listen, God will give you the strength. If you just will say yes. God will give you the strength if you just obey. I don't care. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it. And I've told you this. Your feelings are going to let you down. Forget about how you feel. What does God say? Forget about what your friends say. What is God saying to do? And if he's saying, walk by faith, right? The problem is that sometimes we have people and we're in that place and we're trying to, come on, brother, let's go to church. Come on, brother, I'm praying for you. Come on, brother. But he's comfortable where he's at. He's comfortable in the depression and the anger and the bitterness, and we can't get him out of it. Why? Because we're not God. Only God can do the work of God, guys. We can pray. And so, brothers and sisters, we know family, our friends, our families, our co-workers, we got to pray. We got to stand in the gap. We got to keep inviting. We're going to still keep trying to drag them. But at some point, right, the Holy Spirit is going to have to get a hold of him. That makes sense? And the Holy Spirit is going to have to start moving. And the Holy Spirit is going to have to get him in a headlock and saying, get up and walk by faith. So, when the Holy Spirit comes along, and maybe he just, now he's like, oh, pretend like you're still kind of weak. Listen, now you can help somebody along who's ready to walk by faith. Does that make sense? Now somebody can come along. But listen, a lot of times, we're stuck in the business. We're like, man, I really want this. I really want to. And they're not ready. You got to pray for the Holy Spirit to get them like this. We're walking by faith. Amen? And sometimes when he stands up in his own faith, then we can come alongside and say, hey, Matt, man, I want better for you. You know what God has plans for you? He has some amazing things for you. Will you just listen to him? Amen? We walk by faith. Thanks, Matt. That's why Matt hates coming. He always goes to the children's class sometimes. But I said, Matt's here, he's going to help out. And look, SJ's laughing. You're going to be next, actually. Listen, we have to seek God's direction before taking action. We're going to go through those phases, guys. It's natural. It's okay. But God is not going to leave you there. You trust in him for strength. Amen? Because then we could do something. Then when you say, yes, God, I'm ready. I prayed. I received direction. Then you can do something. Does that make sense? Let's keep reading. And we're going to finish this particular passage. And David, in verse 9, it says, David and the 600 men with him came to the Besor Valley, where some had stayed behind. 200 of them were too exhausted to cross the valley, but David continued on with the other 400 to continue the pursuit. They found an Egyptian in a field, and they brought him to David. They gave him water to drink and food to eat, part of a cake of pressed figs and two cakes of raisins. He ate and was revived, for he had not eaten any food or drunk water for 3 days and 3 nights. David asked him, who do you belong to? Where do you come from? He said, I am an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite. My master abandoned me while I became ill 3 days ago. We raided the Negev of the Kithrites, some of the territory belonging to Judah, and the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag. David asked him, can you lead me to this raiding party? He answered, swear to me before God that you will not kill me or hand me over to my master, and I will take you down to them. And he led them down where they were, scattered over the countryside, eating, drinking, and reveling because of the great amount of plunder they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah. And David fought them from dusk until evening the next day. And none of them got away, except 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. David recovered everything that the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and the herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, this is David's plunder. Then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow and were left behind at the Besor Valley. And they came out to meet David as the men with them. And as David and the men approached, they asked how they were. But all the evil men and troublemakers in David's followers said, because they didn't go with us, we will not share with them the plunder they've recovered. However, each man may take his wife and children and go. David replied, no, my brothers, you must not do this. What the Lord has given us, has protected us and delivered us, delivered into our hands the raiding party that came against us. Who will listen to what you say? The share of the men The share of the man who stayed with the supplies was to be that of him who went down to the battle, and all will share alike. And David made this ordinance for Israel and for all, and from that day to this. Make sense? I would say that's a big chunk of steak. What just happened? They got word from God, right? 600 men go down. They travel to the Besor Valley, and they end up fighting. They find an Egyptian who then what? They revive him with some what? Some food and water. And then he leads them to the raiding party, and they fight from dusk until dawn. Imagine fighting for 12 hours straight. They didn't mean it. I know, imagine it sounds like he just showed up and he won. Listen, God is going to give you some guidance. You're going to have to obey. Does that make sense? You're still going to have to fight. Like, it didn't just say he prayed and then suddenly all the Amalekites were filled with the Holy Spirit and they brought everything back. It doesn't say that. In fact, they had to chase. They had to go. They had to leave 200 behind. And they still had to fight. And then God gave them the victory. Does that make sense? Listen, sometimes we don't want to get up and go. We want to be like Matt. I heard from God. But God has to meet me. He's going to bring it to me. He's going to bring me the victory. Does that make sense? I mean, you know people like that? And God is giving you a word, but you're just kind of waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. It's like, man, you have to walk by faith. You have to get up and do your part. See, God answered him. God strengthened him. He still had to get up. And he went with his party, and as he was going, something happens. Ideally, of course, if you're going to war, do you think it's better to have more guys with you than less? It is, huh? Like when you're rolling with your homeboys or your homegirls. Not that you guys are ever like this in high school. But you're rolling deep. You feel all good when you're walking into the party. Yep, I'm good. Right? Does that make sense? Yes or no? Now, if you know that you're going to fight or a battle, listen, I was never a fighter, guys. You guys know this. I've been in one fight my whole life and I lost to my brother. Never fought again. Okay? Lesson learned. That's not for me. I'm the guy that cries when you got mail. Or the Christmas Netflix movies, I'm the crier. I'm not a fighter, guys. Let's be honest with you. But if I was going to fight, I'd like to have, 600 guys instead of 400. Yeah? Now, 200 of them stay behind. Listen, you're on your journey. Sometimes you want to bring everybody with you, but sometimes what happens is you're going to have to leave some people behind. What? What do you mean I can't bring all of my whole clan, my whole clique? Listen, some people, sometimes, what would have happened if the 200 people that were there with him, do you think that they were going to speed him up? They were exhausted, right? David had to make a decision. He could try to bring everybody with him, or he can go on ahead with the ones that could go. Does that make sense? Listen, in your walk, sometimes you're going to have to leave some people behind. Oh, that's hard, huh? Because we don't like that. And the reality of it is, listen, the 200, they would have slowed them down on their journey. God has you on a journey of faith, but sometimes you're trying to bring everybody with you. The friend that, man, I don't know if that's the best influence for you. You guys know people like that? Are they here in the room? Don't raise your hand. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. Okay, we're going to pray. But we want to come alongside with everybody. But listen, God is saying, listen, you might have to leave some people behind. There's some people in your walk that are slowing you down. There's some people that don't want you to keep going forward. That makes sense? You're getting closer to God. You're being obedient. And some people are like, I don't know, man. That's not like, do you really want to? Like, you're not fun like you used to be. You don't like to hang out. Yeah, we can hang out. Let's read. I don't have to down a 30-pack of Bud Light to be cool. You know, like, I'm still funny. You guys can invite me to the barbecue, you know? Amen? Like, it's true. Your friends only invite you because you bring the 30-pack of Bud Light. Hey, slow your roll. It's not a Bud Light commercial. No, my wife's like, get back in the car. Get back in the car, bring it home. I will. Listen, you might have to leave somebody on this journey of faith that you're on. But look at what happens. David catches up and he completes the mission that God has for him. He's out there for a rescue. and they have, and then what David has to fight. You think that David was just sitting back? No, listen, in this walk of faith, man, you're going to have to fight, guys. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to show up. I wish I could tell you that, man, walking with God is amazing and awesome, but I still have to show up and I still have to fight. Because the enemy is not stopping because I'm praying. The enemy is not stopping because I'm connected to God. The enemy is not stopping because I'm serving. In fact, what does he tell us to do? He says, be ready. If you're doing something for the Lord, be ready for the enemy to rise up against you. Yes or no? And that's why when you're walking by faith and you're trying to do right, it's like, man, I thought it's even harder now. You ever talk to people like that? I'm on my journey now. I'm trying to be obedient. And now it's more distractions, more people trying to stop me down. Of course. Listen, when you're laid down right here in your pity party, the enemy's like, that guy already defeated himself. What do I have to do? Let me go after these people that are actually doing something for the kingdom. Right? You still have to fight. You have to strap on. Somebody sent on the armor of God this morning in the men's group. And then it says after that, in that verse, he says, listen, and stand firm. And then keep standing and keep praying. All kinds of prayers for the people, right? You guys know that? You guys remember that? Ephesians 6. Here's what I'm saying. And some of you are going to take this out of context and say, the pastor, you're going to call your friends and say, the pastor said I can't talk to you anymore. Unfriended. Don't even follow my Instagram because we can't be friends no more. The pastor didn't say that. He said, in the season that you're in, man, you need to get strong. You need to fight your fight. What happened afterwards, though? They won the victory. Man, praise God. Isn't he good? He gave them the victory. They got everybody back. All the herds, all the two wives, right? I don't know why he had two wives. Not because one wife is enough. All my heart, all of my love, all of myself. Amen? All the husbands were thinking that in here. I don't know why he has to, man, my wife is the best. Like, I just my oneness. I couldn't think about having a second wife, how much I love this woman. Okay? He got both of his wives back and his kids and the herd. Yes or no? He did. And here's something that happens. He went back to the people that he had left behind. All right, listen, I'm not saying that you just abandon, like just cut yourself off. You know, I'm not saying that. But on your faith walk, on your faith journey, you got to be obedient to God. And then God will create a situation, a circumstance where you can bring those people back. You can share in the goodness. Because what happens? Some of the men that were with him, they didn't want to give. They're like, no, let's just ignore those people. They didn't want to come with us. They should get nothing. Right? Look how God has been kind and merciful to you. He gives you his best. He sends his son. We can't have a puffed up attitude like we're a Pharisee. It's like, those are sinners over there. I have nothing to do with them. No, God brought them back. And they shared in the goodness of God, right? They had gotten the victory. And then they had the opportunity to say, no, we're not going to be like that. We're not going to be like those people that are all religious and figure that. No, we're messed up like everybody else is messed up. Does that make sense? We don't want to be that kind of church. We want to share in the goodness. That doesn't mean that we're just going to turn our blind eye and forget it, cut everybody off. For a season, you might have to, but then God is going to create an opportunity for you to come back. And you share in the goodness of what God has done in your life. Does that make sense? Number four, we must walk forward in faith and trust God for the outcome. Walk forward in faith and trust God for the outcome. David went through a situation where, again, it looked pretty bad. He found his strength in God. He sought God out for the decision. God gave him the plan, and he went and what he did it. He still had to fight. But for you and for me, we have to walk in faith. And we trust God for the outcome. Listen, when you know somebody that has nothing but good intentions for your life, when they've always been there, they've never let you down, they provide for you, you can trust that person, yeah? That's us, God. That's us and God. God is a provider. He's a protector. He's a creator. He's a sustainer. We can trust him. I know it's tough because we want to do it in our own strength. And we want to sometimes just stay laying down in our pain and our hurt. But David, again, we see this passage and we close with this, is that he had recovered everything. Not some things, he had recovered everything. In fact, if you realize it, he actually had recovered more. Because they had not only plundered just Ziklag, they had also plundered the Negev as well. You guys remember that? So listen, for us, I mean, sometimes the storm might look different. You're still going to have to go through it. You still have to make a decision. You still have to reach out and pray to God. God is the one God that will sometimes, yeah, you know, I don't know the plans that God has. I'm not God. Wouldn't it be nice if we knew that everything that was going to happen? I see good and bad from that. Some of us were like, we want to know how the movie ends. And some of us were like, no, just let me enjoy. Let me just be surprised by what God is going to do. That makes sense? But sometimes God, you know, let me just be honest with you. Sometimes God has a different answer to our prayer. It's not the way we prayed. We trust in who He is. We trust in His character. We trust that He has a better plan. There's things that have happened in our life where we had, if God had listened to our prayer and had granted it, we would look back on and say, man, I was asking and I would have been settling for less than what God had planned for me. Does that make sense? Sometimes God will answer and He says, listen, that relationship that you're praying about, I'm not going to restore it right now. I'll bring you healing. I'll bring you whole. But that's not, I have something better for you. Does that make sense? Sometimes, a lot of times, if you're honest, right, we don't understand what God is doing. But we trust in who He is. We trust that He is a God that brings peace, He makes us whole, and He provides. And how do we know that? Because He sent His best. You know what His best is? It's Jesus Christ. He gives them over to you so you can be redeemed, so you can be restored, so you can have a relationship with God, so you can even be allowed into the presence of God who is holy and good. Amen? So the invitation for us is what? Yeah. To recognize that we're going to have struggles, but God is inviting us to walk in obedience. And Jesus is already, you know, I always say when you look at it and you look at the Old Testament through the lens of what Jesus has done, right? Yes, David was used by God. He defeated the enemies. Jesus defeated Satan. Jesus forgives us, allows us to be what? Restored back to the Father. And so in Romans 8:37-9, we'll close with this. Let's read that scripture. It says, in all these things we know that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our identity is not in what's happened to us, guys. Our identity is not in our failures, but in what? In who God says that we are. And whenever I read the scripture, I don't read that I'm like, they're like, look at you, fatty, or look at you, you didn't do all this stuff, or look at you, you're too short, look at all this stuff. The way that we see ourselves in the mirror, yes or no? We see all of our insecurities. We see all our flaws and failures. God doesn't see us that way. He says what? That I'm forgiven, that I'm redeemed, that I'm restored. In fact, if you just read that passage, it says, there's no height nor depth nor nothing in all creation that can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? So, we are going to have struggles, but listen, we're called to walk by faith. Amen? We're called to allow Him to be God. We can seek Him out, and God always responds. He always provides. Let's pray. Father God, thank You, Lord God, for giving us, Lord, this morning. Thank You for Your love for us, Lord God. Thank You for the lesson that we've taken from 1 Samuel, Lord, of a reminder that, yeah, in our life, we are going to have struggles. We are going to have loss. We're going to have heartbreak, disappointment. But Lord God, You're reminding us today, Lord, that we can walk with You. We can seek You out first. That You are the God that answers, You provides. You provide for us. And Lord, I know that You are in a room this size, Lord. Some of us are going through the storm right now. So Lord, Father God, will You just meet us right now, Lord, at our need. Some of us are struggling, Lord God, with the hurt of a relationship that maybe has failed. Some of us are going through some financial struggles. Maybe it's a change of job, or maybe it's a different situation that we're in. We find ourselves, Lord God. Father God, some of us are still struggling with but some pride, got some unforgiveness in our life, some hurts that have happened to us in the past. And we've been trying, and maybe on our own strength, we can't get past it. We can't get over it, Lord. We keep seeking to wrong people. We keep seeking the advice of those around us. And Lord God, we need to come back to you. We need to just pray, be in your word. We need to meditate. And Lord, you give us a response through your Son, Jesus Christ, through faith in Christ, Lord, walking in obedience, Lord, you provide for all of our needs. Thank you, Lord God, that we have losses and defeats, Lord God, that we don't have to stay there, that we're not victims, Lord, but by your blood, Lord Jesus, we are victors. In fact, we are more than conquerors, Lord, through you, Lord Jesus. And so this morning, Lord, help us to trust you, Lord God, fully in all areas, not just in some areas. Lord, will you be the Lord of our life, Lord? Everybody wants the blessing, Lord, but we want you to be the Lord of our life in all places, Lord God. Not just on Sunday, Lord, but will you be the Lord of our life when we're at home, when we're at work, when we're in the car, that we can be praying and meditating, Lord God, and you be leading us and guiding us every step of the way. And Lord God, we know that when we are walking, Lord God, in obedience, we're connected to you, that we find the true joy, that we find the true calling that you have for us, Lord God. That's not a duty or a job or an activity, Lord, just to be in your presence. Lord, my prayer for our church is that we can seek you out with all our hearts, Lord, that we would know you more. Because when we get you, Lord, we get all of you, Lord God. And I pray that you would just continue to minister to us, Lord God, as we're going through some things. And as we struggle, Lord God, will you forgive us, Lord, of areas where we've been disobedient? Will you forgive us of areas that we've sinned and we've fallen short? Lord, you are faithful to forgive, and you're kind and merciful, Lord. And my prayer this morning, Lord God, is that if there's somebody here that doesn't know who you are, Lord, they'd seek you out with all their heart. Maybe they've been seeking for validation, seeking for value and worth in other things, material things, positions, job, work, Lord. Those are all good things. But you made us for you, Lord God. You made us for a heart of worship. So if somebody here that doesn't know who you are, Lord, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would really just continue to knock. And if that's you this morning, you don't have to wait. The biggest decision that you can make in your life is to surrender to Christ. He is who he says that he is. He is God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is amazing. He is good. Father God, continue to bless us. Watch over us this week, Lord. Bless our gathering, Lord, for the children's ministry, Lord, for BBS. Will you be at the center of all things? And continue, Lord, to help us to worship you, Lord God, with all that we have. Help us to seek you out, Lord, to know you, Lord God, and to make you known. You're awesome and you're amazing, Lord. Watch over us, guide us, and continue to bless us. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.